Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Not too far after Genesis. About 65, and you'll find it, 65 books. Chapter 2, where we're going to go to. We've been doing a study on the seven churches Sunday night, sometimes on Wednesday night, and we've covered just about all of them. But the Lord laid it on my heart this morning that we're going to take care of the last two. Chapter 2, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And he told him, he said, you write to each of these churches, the church at Pergamos, the church at Smyrna, the church at Sardis, Laodicea, and the church at Philadelphia. But he told Ephesus, he said, and the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you this morning for us being able to come here freely without being afraid of the persecution, Lord, that they deal with in other parts of the country. Lord, we take that for granted way too much. But Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we do ask blessings on our country. Lord, we ask blessings on our church. Lord, we do pray that you would continue to bless us, that we can come here freely and to worship you. Lord, it's a privilege. Lord, we do ask this morning you'd be with us as we study your word. Lord, as I bring the message that you've laid on my heart about the churches, and Lord, that what we're to take heed to today, Lord, I do ask that you would be with each heart here. Lord, you know each person. You know whether or not they're your children. And Lord, if there is one here this morning that's lost, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, that they would come to know you, that they would trust in you. We thank you. Ask you to hide me behind that cross. Lord, it's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And we thank you for that in His name. Amen. I almost said you'd be seated. Why I didn't do that this morning, I don't know. But anyway, these seven churches, it's been over the period of time, people have said they present seven different ages, and we're in the Laodicean age, and but I don't hold to that teaching, and that's okay. If a person does, it still means the same about these seven churches. The church at Ephesus, they had lost their first love. They had left their first love. They had grown cold toward Jesus. And the church at Smyrna had suffered great persecution, but the Lord said He was with them. Listen, I want to tell you something. If we continue going on the path we're going on, we may suffer some persecution right here. We're already suffering persecution to a point, but it's nothing compared to what they are around the world. You take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to have some persecution. Well, that's not necessarily so. Yeah, it is too. Read the Bible. It tells us that. The Bible tells us in Timothy that if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. You say, well, I know some Christians that they've never had that problem. Well, I'll just be up front with you. They're believers. Because if you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to suffer some persecution. But they were suffering, but Jesus had told them, He said, I will be with you. You see, these letters were written by John, but Jesus told John exactly what to write to the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And they're His churches. And so, He wanted them to understand some things, and I think that it would behoove us that if we will study each of these churches, that we'll figure out that each of these churches are in existence today. I've been in some of them. I've been in some churches that had lost their love for Christ. They'd grown cold. I've been in a few of them that's been having some persecutions in the areas they were at. We go on, Pergamos, they had compromised. I've been in some churches that compromised. I didn't stay long, but I've been there. Thyatira, they were tolerating false teachings. He had mentioned in there was a Jezebel in the church. It was in the likeness of Jezebel that was King Ahab's wife. And she had convinced Ahab that he needed to be the wicked king he was. Of course, he didn't have a very good example. His dad was fairly wicked himself. But she convinced him of all sorts of stuff to get into Baal worship. They were tolerating this. They were allowing it to go on. The church of Sardis, they looked really good. Man, you could come up to the windows of the church of Sardis and everybody was in there singing and praising God and amen, brother, but spiritually they were dead. And the Lord told them all, He said, listen, you need to repent. Now, I'm skipping one and going right into the church of Laodicea. Laodicea, I'm going to tell you, in my day, and since I've gotten on the road where I should be, and churches I've visited over the years, the church of Laodicea I have found more than any other church probably. I'll put it this way. In the spiritual, the true spiritual churches, some of those that I've been in, that I would call that, they're teaching Jesus Christ, but they got lukewarm. You know, you go into a church, the church at Laodicea, they had gotten worldly, but they were a little godly. They were sitting half on the fence and half off. Kind of like Eutychus. Eutychus was, he was a guy that Paul was preaching to, and they were three floors up, and Eutychus was sitting half in a window and half out. Eutychus fell asleep, and he fell out the window. You know why? Because he was half out. Listen, the Lord says He don't want you half out. He don't want half-heartedness. The Lord wants wholehearted people serving Him. Half-heartedness is a sin. It really is. And poor old Eutychus, it's a good thing Paul was around. Because, you know, if I'd have been preaching, it wouldn't happen. But he fell and hit the ground. He was deader than a doornail. Paul went down there and fell on him, and next thing you know, he was up and doing fine. See, it's a good thing the Apostle Paul was there, because I didn't have what Apostle Paul's got as far as when it comes to these gifts, you see. All that ended. But you see, he was half in and half out. The Laodicean believers, they had believers that were just soaking really and souring. There they sat. They were just real happy being church pew warmers. You ever been a church pew warmer? You just sit there and make sure it stays nice and warm. That's your job in the church. I got saved and my job in the church is to make sure that pew stays good and warm Sunday and morning, and if I decide to show Sunday night, and then if I can get away from the TV, I'll come in on Wednesday night. And I'll sit down, and next week that stinking NASCAR race is coming on. I'm getting on a tangent here. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I like racing. I like to do it on 95. It's more interesting because you ain't going around in a circle 500 times. That'd get old. But listen, when something like that ain't going on, they'll come in here and warm the pews, keep them toasty, you know. They had done gotten complacent. They had gotten satisfied and content with doing nothing. They had their material prosperity. Social acceptance. Well, my neighbors like me because I'll sip a beer once in a while with them. You know, we might even light up a doobie if they want to, because, you know, that's a big deal now. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's marijuana. It was a doobie in my day. You ever heard of the band called the Doobie Brothers? You know why they call them that? Because they were sitting around one night trying to figure out what they was going to call their band. And this dude handed Tommy Johnston, actually, he was the lead singer, he handed his joint over to the guy and he said, "Well, we're Doobie Brothers, man." Boom, there was the name. Now you've got some background on the Doobie Brothers. But you see, they had gotten socially acceptable. Everybody was happy with them. They were that church that sat over there in the corner and they didn't bother nobody. They done got lukewarm. Nowadays we got iced coffee. I can't stand the mess. I like iced tea, not iced coffee. But the Lord said He wants it hot, not lukewarm. What did He say? He said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." Let's go over there. Chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." Oh, you know, see, God knows everything, by the way. He ain't nothing you're going to hide from Him. The pastor might not know it. Your neighbors might not know it. Your wife might even not even know it. Or your husband might not know it. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You ain't hid it. God knows. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Let me put it in my terms for you. I'll vomit. He said, "You make me sick." That's really what He told them. He said, "You're making me sick to my stomach. You're disgusting. You're sitting there with complacency, apathy, teaching falsely. You're just sitting there. You ain't doing nothing. You're about half in and half out. One minute you're saying amen, the next minute you're saying blankety blank blank." And the Lord says, "You know what? You make me sick. It makes me want to vomit." And that's the truth. This morning, I'm going down to the homeless, got Sammy. We're cruising down the road, and I got this cup of coffee, and I went, "Oh." And Sammy's looking at me, and I said, "It's nasty." I said, "It doesn't got to that. It's not cold, but it ain't hot. It's disgusting." And I waited till I got down there and threw it out. Listen, the Lord don't want that. He said, He said, "I would rather you be hot or cold." In other words, I'd rather you be on fire for me or just not doing nothing. Because we become a stumbling block. When we're out there, yeah, we're the Christian. Yes, sir, I'm a big Christian. I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Give me a bud while you're at it. And you know what? I was down there the other day at the Playboy Mansion at the club. And see, God don't want that. You're a stumbling block. God says, "I would rather you be hot, get on fire for me, or just don't do anything. Sit back and relax." Oh, but here's what He said. Look at verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Let me tell you something. If you are living a wrong life and you know it,
and you ain't got a problem with it, something's missing. You want me to tell you what it is? Jesus. He says, I rebuke those I love. I chasten those I love. Listen, I didn't whip the neighbor's kids. It didn't matter to me what they did. But I tore my kid's hind end up. That's what God does to me. When I think wrong, when I do things I ought not to do, He lets me know. Because He loves me. And therefore, it's what He's doing. It's a good way to know if you're saved. Good way to know if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, but you're still out there doing the same rotten mess you used to do, and it don't bother you, then I'm going to go ahead and just be right up front with you. You ain't no more saved than my dog. Because the Lord don't allow that out of His children. The Bible says so. Brother Jim, you can't prove that. Yeah, I can. The Bible says so. Is the Bible the Word of God? You bet it is. Can I stand on what the Word of God says? You bet I can. And if that's what it tells me, that's the truth. So when I mess up, and hey, I do. I think wrong sometimes. You show me anybody in here that don't sin every day, and I'll show you a liar. You just sin. We sin. And He lets me know that. Oh, do I always get a whipping? No, my dad didn't always whip me either. Sometimes my dad would say, "Now you know better than that, son. You make me look bad. You know, you made me ashamed." Oh, I hated hearing that. I'd have rather he pulled his belt off. I didn't like the shame part. But he told him, he said, "Repent. Get it together." Oh, I wrote this down. I'll lift you up on eagle's wings. In other words, you seen that picture, Jesus carrying the guy down the sand? That's what Jesus does for us when we mess up. When we go to Him, 1 John 1:9, He says, to ask forgiveness of our sins. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, He'll scoop you right up and put you right back on the track where you're supposed to be. He gives us the strength we need to carry on. That's what He told the church. He said, listen, you guys need to get it together. You're not doing right. Now, I skipped this church on purpose because I wanted to save the best one for last. Chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Oh, by the way, anybody read the church sign? There you go. Now, my wife informed me that the word open, I put God opened the door. All you got to do is walk through it. It's up to you to walk through it. Something like that. She said that open's supposed to have an ED on it. So I'm going to correct it. That open's supposed to have an ED. But nonetheless, see, when I talk, I say, look, I opened the door for you. I didn't say opened the door because I gobble my words. I'm Southern. If you hadn't figured it out. But anyway, open door. Listen, God told the church at Philadelphia, I've opened a door for you. Oh, which is a blessing. And by the way, if God opens the door, can't nobody shut it. Nobody we know of. Satan cannot shut it. I taught him in Sunday school this morning, Elijah, we're studying in Elijah, and Elijah was serving in a dangerous time. Guess what? We're serving in a dangerous time. But I said, you don't have to worry about it. We may suffer some persecution. But Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Listen, as long as the Holy Spirit is in this world, as long as He's here, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. We may not get to meet in here anymore. We may have to go hide out in the desert somewhere and meet. But as long as the Holy Spirit's here, we ain't no problem.
Now, the day that we're out of here, raptured, there ain't going to be no church left anyhow. But I've told you before, people will meet here that Sunday. That's sad, but they will. Verse 8, Jesus said, I know thy works. You've got strength. He said, listen, you got a little strength. Where am I at? Verse 8. And the angel said, that's chapter 2. I know thy works. There it is. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Jesus told him, he said, look, he said, you've got strength. You've stood firm on the word of God. You haven't compromised. You've done exactly what you were supposed to. You hadn't denied me. He said, you've been doing what you're supposed to. You hadn't grown cold. You're not complacent. You're not putting up with false teaching. They were heading down the right road. That church was on fire for God. It was a tiny church. The church at Philadelphia was a small church. But they were on fire. God opened the door for them. He said, I've opened a door for you. He said, you need to overcome. He gives them the strength to overcome. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. By the way, that us in 1 Thessalonians is the church. He wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He was not writing to everybody out there to just read the Bible. It was written to a church. And he said, I haven't appointed you for wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us and the church, Acts 20:28. Whether we wake or sleep, whether we're dead, in other words, or alive or dead, we should live together with Him. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as I also ye do. In other words, He said, listen. He said, I haven't appointed you to wrath. I am going to save you from that day. You don't have to worry about that. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about the tribulation period, which, by the way, may start next week. But if it does, I can promise you this, by the Word of God, we won't be here. Now, you might catch the second bus, but I'm going up the first load. When the horn toots, I'll scoot and I'll be with Jesus. And then things are going to not be good here. We think this world is wicked. This world ain't got a clue what wicked is. Man, when the Holy Spirit's taken out, do you know why it's still halfway safe to do anything? Because of Christians. Because of the Holy Spirit. The minute the Holy Spirit's gone, it'll be sad. It's going to be a bad deal. You see, I feel bad for people that will not listen. That, well, I'll take my chances. That's sad. See, the Bible tells us that if you failed to accept the Lord right now, for instance, today if there's somebody here that don't know the Lord as Savior, you don't know for a fact you'll go to heaven. And you know the Holy Spirit is talking to you. You know, you're in bad shape, man. You need to trust the Lord. Nah, I ain't going to do that. And the rapture happens tonight. That's the end of it, according to the Bible. You don't have another chance. Well, the Lord's long-suffering. Guess what? The Lord's patience ends eventually. Eventually, it comes to a halt. And He says, enough! You see, when Noah... He preached, built on his ark for 120 years. And God says, hey, Noah, grab your family, come on into the ark. And when the door shut, God shut it, by the way. Can't nobody open it. Because Noah would have opened it. Noah's like us. Oh, man, I got to let them in. They didn't have another chance. That's the end of it. Those people died and went to hell. And that's what will happen to Christians, to unbelievers that have the opportunity, that know that the Holy Spirit dealing with them, know that they need to get right with God, but they don't. They turn it down. You see, we've got an open door to tell people these things. I don't want you to go out and say, "Hey, I'm from Wagon Wheel Baptist Church. You're going to hell if you don't get saved." You don't do that. That ain't the way you bring people to the Lord. You know, you knock on the door and you say, "Hey, I'm from Wagon Wheel Baptist, Missionary Baptist. I'd like to invite you to church. By the way, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to have eternal life one day?" They'll find out about hell quick enough. Most of them know anyway. That's what we're offering. We're offering the gift of life. I ain't got to worry about the other right then. All we got to do is tell them about Jesus. And by the way, Jesus will do the rest. See, He gave them an open door to spread the gospel. Paul said, I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." And he told him, he said, "And I finished my course." Listen, we ain't finished our course. Who here in this room has got chains on, and when you leave here, they're going to put an axe upside your head? None of us. Our course ain't finished. We're to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? She shook her head. She can't talk. I'm picking on Courtney. Listen, our course ain't done. We're to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave that, by the way, that commission to the church. He told the church, get out and do it. Listen, we're to keep pressing towards the mark. We're to keep pressing toward the Lord Jesus Christ and telling others about Him. That's what we got to do. We got to keep going that direction until the Lord calls you home. Keep on running the race. But, I don't like buts. But, anytime there's a but, what do they call that? That's a conjunction, ain't it? I paid my English teacher off with Taco Bell in college. That ain't no joke. She passed me with a C. But, in conjunction. You know, I mean, that's a conjunction. There's always a problem when you got an open door. It's called flies. You know, you open your door. We don't have flies in Henderson. I found out we do. You open up the glass sliding door and you give it a few minutes and you're sitting there relaxed. And you're like, "What? A fly? The only fly in Nevada, and he's in my house." You know, you get flies. You know what those flies are. We need to be careful. In other words, that's like there's false teachers. They'll come in and try to lead you astray. You know, wolf in sheep clothing. They'll look good. They'll show up, and man, they're just like all the rest of them. But if you wait long enough, you'll hear them, whoo! You ever heard a wolf howl? Man, they're great. Make the hair stand up on your neck at about 2 o'clock in the morning when you're up in the mountains. You know what they do the first night? They come up and sniff you, Brian. That's all they do. They walk up and the next night they show up and they might nudge you, maybe lick you a little bit. The third night, we don't want to talk about it. Listen, they are dangerous because they don't show up with their fangs hanging out and growling. That's what 1 Peter 5:8 said about Satan. Listen, he don't show up with a roaring lion. There he is. No. He shows up real quaint, nice, kind. But then they sneak their mess in, you see. You got to be careful because you got that stuff coming in. We have to be watchful. You know, what kind of church do you want Wagon Wheel to be? You want it to be one that is dead? You want it to be one that we tolerate a little bit so we can get along with everybody? No. You don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be that church like at Philadelphia that the Lord said, I know thy works. You've got a little strength. You're kind of small, but you got a little strength and you're really out there doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to open up the door for you. Where's our open door, Henderson? Hopefully that's what we'll have with Robert Taylor. That's part of our open door. We go there and hopefully we'll get to meet some parents eventually and invite them to church. That's the whole idea. Get them to come to the house of God and then we can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That opportunity. That's the open door. Nevada is our open door. The rest of the world. That's why we support, well, for instance, Brother George Carmos. He's in Romania. Brother Jim Black, he'll be here the 22nd. That night, he's going to speak to us. He's out doing mission work in Bulgaria. That's the open doors. See, we not all of us are able to go to Bulgaria or Romania. It's awful cold there. I like warm weather. But we can help by support of those guys. Prayer for those. See, everybody gets the wrong reason, wrong thing about Baptist. Listen, it's not all about this wallet. There ain't nothing in it anyway. But it's not about this. It's about prayer. It's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing to it that His work is furthered. That's that open door He's given. And we need to do that. Let's all stand. Sister Judy, if you'll come up. Brother Craig, come up and grab us a song.